The one thing about Christianity that sets it apart from all other religious denominations is its family connectivity. The essence of Christianity, the foundation, if you will, of Christianity lies in its relational concepts. Serving Jesus is not a religious effort. It's not a religious thing. It's a relationship with God that sin did not allow me to have. Once the sin problem has been dealt with through the blood of Jesus, I am now able to have fellowship with God. And that fellowship is what propels me into a connection with God that takes care of the rest of my life. God and I have been walking together all week. He's taken me through battles, through tests. He's met my needs. He's demonstrated His ability to keep me. Now, when I come to church with my brothers and sisters, it becomes an experience of combining our relationship. So we sing, we worship, we share, and gifts that He has given to me for the purpose of edification of the body are able to be used. The thing that made the first century church so powerful, so effective, was that they lifted Jesus. We've gotten away from that. We lift the people, we lift the leaders, we lift the things. The key to effective pastoring in the 21st century is putting Jesus back at the center so He can draw all to Himself.
Join us for Pastors Conference, Saturday, July 15th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. To register, call 215-885-2585, extension 314.
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Here, Jeremiah, when we reach the 29th chapter, some significant things have taken place. God has been promising them Babylonian captivity for a prolonged period of time. But there was another prophet, Hananiah, who decided that he was going to preach and prophesy contrary to Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah was telling them they're going to be in bondage for a long period of time. And Hananiah was saying, no, you're not. And so Jeremiah would wear this wooden yoke around his neck, and Hananiah came and broke the yoke and said, God is going to break your bondage. So the people began to respond in a very, jubilant manner. They were happy that a contrary prophet was saying something different than God's prophet. This other person was saying what they wanted to hear. So when we reach chapter 29, God has had enough. So He fires Jeremiah up, and in fact, that was one of the reasons, coupled with the fact that the people didn't want to listen to him, where Jeremiah reaches this level of depression and says, I'm no longer going to preach, I'm no longer going to teach, because the people don't want to hear me. And then he sits down and he says, but the word is like fire in my bones, and I've got to do this. So we reach the 29th chapter, and in this, he gives this encouragement, if you will, to those going into captivity, and he tells them that you're going to be in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Now, that's not a good thing to hear. It really isn't. But here is where you see the heart of God. If you notice here, verse 4, Jeremiah 29, it said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives. Now, the captivity has not fully set in, and so he's speaking to them. So there's trouble that's coming in your life. All of us are going to have trouble, regardless of your position, your status, your title, whatever. You're going to have trouble. Jesus promised you that in St. John 16. In the world, you will have trouble. Okay, so settle into it. Now, the trouble's going to come from various places. It'll come from, family relationships, relationships with friends. Things break down. Things change. You're going to have trouble. But watch this, because our natural inclination when trouble comes in is to get defeated and depressed in our thinking. The moment depression comes in your thinking, you immediately begin to blame God. Why did God let me go through this? Why did God let this happen? Why did God cause this to go on in my life? No. Watch. Throughout Scripture, starting back as early as Genesis, God always deals in prevention more than cure. Truth be told, most of us have to say that the things that we are going through are the result of us ignoring his prevention. So you really don't regret what you do. You regret what you didn't do. It's usually phrased like this: boy, if I only had listened. Oh, boy, if I had just stayed away from that street. Or if I had taken 309 instead of Bethlehem Pike, I wouldn't have had the accident. We are always living in the I wish I had of. Why? Because we don't pay attention to God's prevention. So God can say, all right, I need you to stop doing this. Okay, so stop it. And we continue to do it. And then something happens. We don't realize that our life is really planting seeds that will bring fruit later. Now watch this, because in Jeremiah 29, you're going to see the heart of God. You're going away as captives. I've caused you to be carried away. Let's make this clear. This is not because of the devil. It's because you've reached that third stage of my intervention. You're going to be carried away. Then he says, but I don't want you to have, oh my God, because this is liberating. God said, you are going to be captives, but I don't want you to have a captive mind. All right, now I'm talking to some people. The rest of you just catch up with us. You know how you used to get on your bike and say, all right, I'm going down here. Catch up with me. Catch up with us. Watch. You are going into captivity. What are some of the thoughts of captivity? Fear, foreboding, which means I sit there and anticipate something bad happening. I walk around with this gloomy cloud over my head. Foreboding means I get off the subway at Broad and Girard, and when I walk up the steps, I expect somebody to be up there to try to jack me. That's foreboding. You walk up the steps and you're like, okay, is somebody going to be there? God says, no, you're going to be in captivity, but I don't want you to have a captive mindset. Lord, help me. I wish I had somebody that could hear this. He says, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to build houses. All right, saints of God, listen to me. How in the world are you going to build a house if you're in captivity? Something doesn't make sense. Are your captors going to give you the tools to build? Are they going to give you the land to build? No, you're in captivity. So God is saying, even though you are in captivity, your imagination, your ability is not locked up. In other words, I provide the tools, you find the way. Build houses. See, we go around, praise the Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't like my job. I don't like this. I don't like that. No, fix it. It's easy to settle into, praise the Lord, nobody likes me. People mistreat me. It's easy to settle into that bondage. It's another thing to graduate to, I ain't letting it stop me. Though everybody else is a B, I'm going to be an A. I took my last test for this past semester, and the professor gave us 2.5 hours and 2 weeks to take this test. It's on psychological assessment and learning how to do tests, assessments for people that I have to deal with on a criminal level. It was heavy on discussing psychopaths and all that stuff. And he gave us till May 5th to complete it, but it's a total of a 2.5 hour test. Now, just figure it out. The test itself takes 2.5 hours if you sit there in one setting. He said, but it's going to take you all week. So you can take apart, come back, take apart, come back. Because it's just that. And it don't matter if you read your book, because they're not questions you get right out of your book. These are all analytical questions. So It was posted last week, and so I said, well, I'm taking it Saturday, and I'm just going to finish it in one setting. And I finished it in 1 hour and 19 minutes. And I got an A. Yeah. Now, hold on. Don't clap. Now, I got the A because I said I was getting an A. I created the environment. Now, I studied like crazy, and I read all my notes, and I gave God everything he needed to give me my A. I didn't sit there and say, oh, praise the Lord. The Lord wants me to be humble, so I'll take the C graciously. The devil is a lie. I am going to complete my program with a 4.0. But see, I'm adding a new cum laude. They have cum laude, magna cum laude, summa cum laude. I'm adding a fourth one called thank you laude. And so when I graduate, they're going to call my name, and my cord is going to be a different color, and it's going to be Dr. Eric A. Lambert Jr. graduated. Thank you, Lordy. Now, why? Because in my mind, now I always have people who talk to me, and they say, oh, well, why can't you just accept the B? God don't have no B's.
If you believe God,
for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number 4517A. Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I want to invite you to come to our Pastor's Dialogue. We are reviving this time together so that we may sit together and share what the Lord has put on our hearts. You see, for me, it's very important that we develop unity and consistency along with harmony. The Pastor's Dialogue is designed to inspire you, to give you new ideas, to reach a generation that heretofore you may have assumed is not reachable. We're going to encourage you on how to move your church forward. We're going to talk about the importance of a vision statement. We're going to talk about how to move your church to the next level of church growth and development. Now, I've been pastoring for over 30 years. 30 years of serving God as pastor of one church. I have some things to share with you. Believe me, many of the roads that you are about to enter, I've already walked down those roads, and by the grace of God, I'm able to help you.
Pastor's Conference will be held on Saturday, July 15th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue, Wincote, PA. To register, call 215-885-2585, extension 314.
So I want to invite you to come and spend the day with me, and we are going to have an exciting time learning how to put the joy back into pastoring. God bless you.